Stay for lunch, 15 to 20 people. That's a good way to meet people, and you don't have to. There was a guy who was talking about the fluoride in the water. You know, we've all got that fluoride in the, and how you can approach getting rid of it. Really, what are we paying for? They're putting poison in our water and then charging us for the privilege. It's poison, and obviously it's a great way for dumbing down and keeping. Hello everybody, how are we?
Awfully good.
So we just got back from Tassie. I'll just quickly touch on Tassie for a sec. It was bloody awesome. Haven't been to Tassie, you need to go there. It's awesome. Tasmanian devil. There's no GMO in Tassie. They don't do any genetically modifying their foods down there. It's actually in their law. In their constitution down there. It was Tasmanian.
Bloody awesome.
And no toll roads. So those two reasons are enough for everyone to relocate there.
Too bloody tell about
the weather. But the funniest thing, we did an interview with Meryl Dory. Shazza told her story on the bus. That was really good. If you want to have a look at them, they're all my channels are on our website, rubesflies.com. It was bloody awesome. Tassie's great, like there's a lot of white people down there, but it was bloody awesome. Anyway, Tasmanian devil. February edition, alright, lots of good stuff in there. There's Australia Exit the Who. There's Boycott Bunnings, have a read of that article by Shazza Mataz. That's really funny. Yep.
Well done.
Tasmanian devil. There's some pretty gnarly local and world news in there. We've got a flashback of Canberra 2022. It's awesome. People's Art Gallery, if you haven't heard of that. Moshi. It's awesome. It's bloody awesome. I don't know really much about art, but I think it's great. So this it's awesome. And see what it's all about. Tasmanian devil. And it's also my favourite section, as always, Friends of Rube's Flyers.
And it's this month.
And it's our mate over here, Mr. Gert by sea. There he is.
Yay.
His location is by the sea. His hobbies are curing politicians of headaches, being a pest of the New World Order, and fishing. A memorable quote, I can remember when they did the last great reset. Good boy, see, Friends of Rude Flyers, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Basically a Gold Coast rally at Cotter. So we've got a huge amount of support from a lot of different organisations. So I'm going to suggest it'd be good to be there. Susie, your turn, my dear. If the chemistry is right, if the chemistry is there. Hello everyone. We have a lovely guest speaker here today. It would be my absolute pleasure today introducing lovely Deb and Joan, who I actually met 13 months ago. I asked Deb this week if she would speak for us, and she actually said she would be honoured. Deb stood up for humanity back approximately 18 months ago, and we can't thank her enough for doing this for all of us, when I actually thought I was severely going crazy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us thought we were going crazy. Deb was actually working here in the system on the Gold Coast. You truly are an inspiration, my darling, and an absolute shining star. Thank you for speaking for us and wanting to wish you well on your new adventure, on your new adventures you are doing moving forward. Thank you.
See
see familiar faces, and it is such an honour to come and speak to you all. I haven't actually done a speaking event for a while now. For those that don't know my story, I was a registered nurse for 30 years and I was working in emergency and intensive care at Gold Coast University Hospital and surrounding hospital, during the pandemic, and was seeing all kinds of crazy happening there, and then obviously seeing the messaging that was coming out to the public, and I felt extremely conflicted and was coming home every night in tears. Well, did so much work, you know, to get yourself through these last years, and you realise how much it's still really with you, you know, and you can't unsee what you've seen. And so, it's been a real journey, you know, and I really felt in my heart that I know that I was born for these times now, when I look back and I look at my life and all the events that I've journeyed through, and I know that I'm here for a reason, and public speaking was like the furthest thing from anything that I thought that I would be doing. But having, you know, been in the position where I was seeing the truth, but the lies and the deception, and I couldn't live with myself to be quiet and not to speak about that. So that was my motivation, and I really felt guided in that time to, and felt that it was my responsibility to speak out. And when I did, I spoke at the Broadbeach rally, and there was about 15,000 people there. And then I spoke again at the church, at the Reach Out Church, the community meeting. And I started getting all these messages and feedback from people that are just like from all over the world, because the videos were being sent like globally. And I realized how much of an impact I'd had in that moment, where I had stood in my truth and I had spoken my truth, and how many other people were feeling exactly the same, and they knew that something wasn't right, you know. And so fast forward to now, I decided in that moment that I wanted to be a part of the change. I wanted to be a part of, you know, the solution, because as Einstein says, if we keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, that's insanity. The more we fight and keep coming around to the beginning again, we're back at the beginning again, so we're no further ahead than what we were, you know, 3 years ago. So in my mind, and having been witness to in the sickness industry for 30 years, we won't call it a health industry. There's no health in the hospital at all. And over the last probably 10 to 15 years of my 30-year career, I started to see this gross pharmaceutical push. Everything was about giving people drugs. There was no mention about a lifestyle or contributing factors, ways to manage stress, all the things that contribute to dis-ease in our body. And it was all just about, what are your symptoms? Here's your tablet, see you later. And emergency medicine started to be, nobody even wanted to know about people's, you know, psychosocial, like their mental health. It's like, oh yeah, you've got an abdominal pain, you've got chest pain, you've got, okay, we'll give you these, and if the test results come back negative, then you're out. And there's no, the follow-up was terrible. It was like, go see your GP, go see your GP. And I was like, this isn't working, this system. This is way before COVID. This system isn't working. Forcing, medication on people. Over the years, I'd seen people, informed consent was informed consent. It used to be a thing. It's not a thing anymore. But it was, you know, if somebody didn't want to have a surgery, you gave them all the information, the doctors gave them information, they could say no. And then that was that. The patient decided, and that's how it worked, and there was no question. Obviously, we've seen a whole different ball game over the last few years. So we have to take the power back, and we have to take control of our own well-being. And I think that there's so much distrust now in the system, that a lot of people are really reluctant to go and see their GP. they don't trust them anymore. You know, they used to be a trusted profession. There is, that's, I don't even trust the profession. And I worked in it for 30 years. And interestingly enough, last year, my partner had a terrible accident where he was catapulted off a building on a, off a second story ladder and landed on the ground. And it was, I was actually there. We've both had to start our own businesses and lives again in our 50s because of this, of the mandates. We both stood down from our jobs, and so I was helping him on the job site, and I watched him be catapulted off this ladder, and of course we had to call an ambulance and go through the emergency department, and then there was, he'd smashed his foot. Fortunately, that's all he'd done. But that process and going through the, like, I was actually afraid, even though my whole history has been, I was an associate nurse manager of an emergency department in Melbourne for years. Like, I've seen it all. But now from the other side, with a family member going through the system, I was like, I didn't know, I felt uneasy about that. I didn't know what was going to happen, what questions we were going to be asked, whether it was going to change the outcome of our treatment, you know. These are very real feelings that everybody is getting. And fortunately, we didn't have a too bad experience. It was relatively, you know, the follow-up was a bit crap, but fortunately he had me to really, you know, put the time and effort into research and things. And so that has led me to really start to look at other ways of healing and other modalities that we can tap into that are going to keep us well and accelerate healing. And one of those things that I use now in my practice, because I actually have a health coaching practice, which I was studying 5 years ago, must have known that this was going to happen, and got my diploma in integrative health. So my focus now, and having had a test case with my partner, is bioresonance, which has been phenomenal. Anything to do with frequency medicine, and you can access that. You know, we're energetic beings, whether we like it or not. We live on a planet. It's in the solar system. We all have cells which have mitochondria, which is the energy center. I won't go into a big science lesson, but we are energy. We are frequency beings. And so if we can help to keep ourselves in balance, then our body heals itself. That's it in a nutshell. So stress alters our chemistry. We see, I worked in cardiovascular, like cardiothoracic, seeing, you know, bypass surgeries for hearts and all kinds of things. And the people that lived a lot calmer, like tapped into other modalities for wellness, whether it's that they do meditation or they use massage or whatever it is that they use to help to de-stress, had a much faster recovery time. Like night and day, the people that live highly strung, stressed out, you know, very imbalanced lifestyles had often post-operative complications, just a lot of stuff going on that was, you know, that inhibited their wellness long term. So my goal now is to really encourage people to be well, you know, and to find things that, like, groups like this are phenomenal for accessing resources where we can try things that resonate with us. Not everybody's going to want to try the same thing, and that's okay. Not everyone wants to go to the rallies, and that's okay. You know, we need to just love on each other and support one another in this journey. We're not all the same. We may all have a similar belief around what's going on in the world right now. We know that there's more coming, and we know that it's potentially going to be even harder than what we've already been through. So it's really important, as part of our wellness, that we tap into finding our people, that we feel loved, that we feel accepted, that we're not alone in the journey, you know, that we can utilize practitioners and people that are outside the system that are really helping to promote wellness at a cellular level. Like, my partner and I have not been unwell at all through this whole thing. You know, we don't we don't get sick. We have contact with, you know, people from all walks of life, and I still support him in his, he's a handyman, by the way, so if you need any work done at home. So my goal now is to really help people with educational tools to see where their body's at right now. And the beautiful thing about bioresonance is that it does a scan of your entire body through a voice recording, because the vibration of our voice is different octaves and notes. They all have a frequency attached to them. Music has been used in healing realms since the beginning of time. We know that we can access music for sleeping and anxiety and brain, like mental clarity and focus and accelerated learning and all things. So it reads the tonality and then creates basically a breakdown of your emotional state of what's going on in your body that's affecting your organs. So when we have that information, we can make better choices. It also looks at things like vaccine injury, detoxification of, you know, it'll bring up heavy metals and identify anything that's really grossly out of balance. It does bring things back into balance to a point, but like anything, you can't bring it back all at once. It has to go slow. And then we support with protocols that I have a beautiful network. Actually, there's a lot of the nurses that have stood down with me that have access to amazing people and protocols that if you need like more intensive detoxification, we can access those things. And so that's how we create this community where we're tapping into wellness, you know, from within. This is the whole purpose is and being resourceful and knowing that, you know, each day when we wake up, like let's start with gratitude. You know, let's be grateful that we're all alive, that we're all well, that we all have each other. Lead with love and non-judgment. I think that's been something that's actually really affected me recently, is seeing some infighting going on in the freedom movement. We don't need that, you know. It's not necessary, and it does it. It's not helpful, and it actually it will change the frequencies in our body, and we will get sick from that.
From the enemy. Enemy ring. I love you.
My piece of like the takeaway that I really want to really bring to everyone is that we're responsible for our own well-being, and that we, you know, we've been shown over the last few years that this whole relying on a system to be well, relying on a system to be rich, relying on a system. We can't rely on systems anymore, but we can rely on ourselves. You know, we can be self-reliant, we can lead from love in our lives and really be the demonstration of what's possible to people. Like people say to us, you know, how did you guys do it? You know, we had to get the jab because we would have lost our home, or we were prepared to lose all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. Yeah. Like we would have slept in a tent. It was a not negotiable, you know, and I think that's the difference. This is just my personal belief, but the more evolved we are as a person, the less attached we are to things. So we don't care about losing houses and cars and stuff. None of that means anything. Our people. You know, and I know they've done studies around the world in the blue zones where people live the happiest and longest lives. And connection is number one. And we've been, even if we look around at the Western world, we're all living in our houses and we're all going to work our 9 to 5 and we're driving in our cars, one person in each car, and everything is being geared for this total separation. Bring you home to your house where you're in your four walls watching your four square sided, whatever that thing is that I haven't watched in over 10 years, you know, which is another reason why I don't feel at, like, occasionally we'll see a news piece come down. I think there was one today from the ABC. Interestingly enough, while the narrative is that they're pushing the boosters, there's all these studies and information being told on the mainstream media overseas that you're 88% less likely to be hospitalised or die from COVID if you've had the virus. Yeah. How interesting that natural immunity would trump pharmaceuticals. We knew that even before all of this, you know, but unfortunately Australia and New Zealand, I'm originally from New Zealand years ago, but you know, we've been a bit slow on the uptake, and as soon as the hospital and the government, the health department started telling me as a nurse who used to practice, you know, evidence-based practice, that was my expertise. I was an intensive care and emergency nurse, and so anything that's been, any procedures, new drugs, new, any protocols that have been, that are new and introduced into the system, we go and do our own individual research. And they told us that we were not to do that. No.
You're not allowed to think for yourself.
No.
Not pretty anyway.
No. So we have to, interestingly though, obviously I'd already been doing that in a lot of other realms. I never practiced the medical model in my home, even with my sons. We never, I know that my eldest son did have a vaccine reaction back when he had the MMR when he was 1 year old, and at the time I didn't realize it was actually that, but now when I look back I can see all the pieces. And so I've always thought outside the box, and I think the more that we can start to really trust our intuition, like people, I'm the only nurse on the Gold Coast that's spoken out, and I have not, apart from a few other nurses who have also stood down here, by all the hundreds that I used to work with, I haven't heard from a single one of them. Oh. Not one.
And you worked with them pretty much your whole career?
Yeah, that was my, and I was there, I used to do predominantly night shifts, and I'd be doing 12, you know, 10 and 12 hour nights with these people. I spent more time with them than my own family, you know, and nothing, crickets. And so it has been a difficult journey, but I know that I'm here for this purpose, to help people be well, to still provide the education and knowledge that I have collected over 30 years, you know, working in the front line of emergency, and just, and be able to implement these other tools and resources that are really going to help us moving forward. We've all got access to these things, like those that are interested to come and maybe do a scan with that, and you mean there's options as well for people to actually purchase machines, and there's all kinds of ways that I've got so many resources that if whatever is resonating with you and whatever you feel led to do, I'm in full support, or even if you just want to have a conversation and work out, like, you know, what's going to be best for your journey, because, you know, some of us do have health you know, problems that we would like to find solutions for moving forward, and we certainly don't want to be in a state of fear, because fear creates a lowered immune system, which therefore creates disease. Fear creates acidity in our body that creates disease. So we have to look at ways that, like, even your drinking water is really important. We drink alkalized, you know, ionized water. There's ways that we can help to reduce acidity in our bodies, and that will help with, you know, all kinds of, you know, whenever we have an acidic environment, it's like it causes inflammation. It's like having a wound on your arm that's open, and then, you know, pouring an acid onto it, it's only going to flare it up more and more. The more we can lower the acidity in our body and to create more of an alkaline environment, then it lets our body do what it's meant to. It knows the pH that we're meant to be. It knows where we're meant to be and how we're meant to function. And if we get ourselves, we're exposed to, look, I can see the golden arches from here. You know, we're just
every tower next to it.
Yeah. Like everywhere we go, we're exposed to, you know, fast food, fast life, fast living, faster internet, faster, you know, my son went to Telstra to try and get a modem for him, and he lives in a tiny little like unit. And they tried to sell him the big, you know, 5G, this and that, and he was like, I don't want 5G. And they were like, and he's 20. Both my boys are unvaccinated.
Yeah.
Wow. So instead of you telling us, Mum, not to do it, then we're out. That's it. And he almost had to, he was like, I don't actually have to give you a reason. I just don't want a 5G modem. I want a 4G. And they were like, but are you do you play games? Do you want? You say, yeah, and it's fine. I'm fine with 4G. Can I just have a 4G? And they could not fathom why he didn't want the 5G. No idea. I mean, they're retail assistants, it's a, you know, let's cut them some slack, but they're in on it. They don't realise, but they're in on the whole...
They're being indoctrinated.
On the whole thing, yeah, and
just
same with...
Sam.
Yeah, and we're all getting it through the television, you know, programs. They're called programs, yeah. Television programs for a reason. You know, we're just constantly being programmed with things subconsciously, you know. You know, we all know the adverts on TV, on the radio, and things that stick in our mind that we can still see years and years later. That stuff works. You know, it gets into our subconscious mind, and then it affects our well-being. And so, So I just my heart's desire, and my I really want to just be an example of what's possible for people when they make a decision to. You know, take responsibility for their health and well-being, and if they're wanting, I want to be that point of contact for people to come, and if they need resources, I've also got a Telegram channel called Nurse DJ Speaks, which has been going for the last however long, 18 months or so. I just post a lot of really important, you know, good information about what's happening, and mostly and predominantly to do with health. And I certainly am open to being messaged, and you can find me, Debbie Jane Harris is my Instagram, and I'm on Facebook as well, but I don't post any of this stuff on my socials on purpose, because I also was investigated by ARPRA. So I've been through all of that, I deregistered myself, and so then all they could do was give me a caution. So I got a slap on the wrist, but they took me through the ringer. It was horrendous, and I would never give them, not even a fiver, moving forward. They're like, if you ever want to re-register, I said, are you kidding me?
No. I'm back for a bit more.
not happening. So, you know, that whole part of my life now is, you know, I've been through the grief of having to let that go. I think we've all had a lot of grief, you know, letting things go, and family members and relationships and feeling isolated and feeling like we're going crazy and all the things. But I think we've realised now, 3 years on, we're not crazy, we're not alone, and we're all here to help one another in some capacity. Like even just in this room today, we've all got different roles to play. We're all here for a different reason. And there will always have to, there needs to be always a leader. There's always a leader of movements. Just trust your gut and your own discernment. You know, we're not here to judge people and what they're doing. I think especially in this whole freedom thing, we're here to love one another and to support those that need it. And some people need to be, to do what they do and to be, you know, on their own journey. If it doesn't work out for them, they get to course correct at any time and they can go down that road. And that's how we evolve as human beings. We just got to love each other. No judgment of people, even if you've been jabbed or not. It's, you know, we can still have a feeling about that, and it may make us feel sad that our loved ones participated in something under coercion or whatever. But at the end of the day, what's going to keep us well is to remain focused on forward to remain, you know, together in love, and love over fear will always win.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Has anybody got any questions?
Yeah. Dumb question. Yeah, dumb question. Is COVID a real thing?
It's poison.
Or is it just some
cold?
Yeah. Is it a real disease?
Well, so my experience was that I did look after COVID positive patients in the hospital, and we only had 6 patients in the ICU in 20 months. They were positive for COVID, and all of them survived and were discharged from ICU.
So was it a cold? Was it just the flu?
Well, no, some of the people had other comorbidities. That meant that, like anything, it is a type of flu. What was interesting, though, is that when we started doing all the PCR testing, the patients, that usually what we would do when we do respiratory virology is the test would come back with what is the strain. And we no longer got the strains, we just got COVID positive, COVID negative. So, yeah. It definitely is a... So, understanding that the virus shows up obviously in a microscope in a certain way, and then it has associated symptoms with it.
It's poison.
You know,
so is that after the shot that those people were COVID positive?
Oh no, this was...
You know,
so is that after the shot that those people were COVID positive?
So most of them were before, and then we were having the ones that were coming after, and then when they pushed all the mandates, obviously I was out of the system.
But
then
they got rid of the strain as well. They went deep with the strain and killed everything COVID. So if someone had the flu, it would go on to COVID.
That's what we presume. We're
like a blanket.
We're presuming. Well, the PCR test is something we've been using for all the time that I've been a nurse. Every time someone will come in with a flu-like illness, they get a PCR. We use a thing called a flock swab, and it's a special kind of swab. And that, because viruses colonize in the nasopharynx, which is just at the back of the nose there, so all this whole, like, it's penetrating your brain, and oh, that's, I'm sorry, but that's not really my experience. And I've done millions of PCR swabs in my 30 years. But obviously, if there's something on the swab, there were stories that maybe there was, maybe there wasn't, who knows.
What you were talking about before, the first movie you mentioned, is it even real? I saw a thing a while ago on that Irish professor, Dolores Cahill, which I imagine lots of you have heard about. She retested a lot of these samples, and if my memory's correct, they were from people who died. And every single one of them, bar none, was influenza A or influenza B.
Yeah.
And she was telling everybody, and they're just shutting it down.
It's poison.
She still does stuff. Still see her every year online.
The only question that I had really throughout that, because I've looked after Ebola, H1N1, swine flu, bird flu, I've nursed all of them, was the lack of infection control in this situation when it was supposed to be more deadly than all the others. So when I was working in Melbourne and looking after Ebola, we literally had the walls plastered and patients were separated. If you came in and you had ticked all the boxes, you were taken down a tunnel, you know, into a different area because it was that bad, and we were hazmating and the whole business. It was a thing. This was not a thing. It wasn't a thing at all. So, yeah, it was an interesting time.
Yeah, on the bottle of Dettol, they used to have kills all coronaviruses. Yeah, they haven't got it on there anymore. But there's someone that wrote a freedom of information request to the, I think it was the CDC or somewhere, saying, have you got a live sample isolated under a microscope of COVID-19? And they said, we don't hold such thing. So I take it to be that they've never isolated this thing under a microscope. But you were saying a minute ago that when you've tested people at your job, they've seen it under the microscope. So,
well, that's what basically that my understanding, when we send as a nurse, we do the swab, we collect the swab, we fill out the paperwork, yeah, we put the sticker on it, and it goes to pathology, and that's their job. And then we get the result back.
Yeah.
And that's as much.
So you never actually saw it.
No. We don't get to see it. And you know, at the end of the day, I think we've realised now that this had nothing to do with COVID.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nothing to do with health.
It's nothing to do with health. It had nothing to do with COVID.
But I just find it weird how they all these plan 20.
Oh, that's marketing.
And they say, it kills coronavirus.
That
so
has
I'm going
to be marketing, because I'm like, you know, it's on your OMO, whatever, it's on your washing liquid, it's on your... I think that the best thing you can do when you read that stuff is just really, like, have a belly laugh. Like, really, really feel it.
Are they trying it on?
And even if they aren't, like, even if there is a Ebola or whatever, the number one thing that is going to... The number one thing that keeps people sick is fear.
Hello everyone, I'm Rubes and I'm here today with Debbie Jane Harris. How are you, Debbie?
I'm good, thank you. Hello everyone.
Now, the last time I saw you was at a rally at McIntosh Island. Remember that one, Surfers Paradise?
Yes, I do.
And you spoke there. And also, you spoke at a church about a year ago now. And as soon as I put that video on YouTube, boom, it hadn't even finished downloading and I got banned permanently. That was interesting, wasn't it?
And very interesting.
Yeah, and it happened to quite a few people too. I heard it happened to Malcolm Roberts. He got a ban on YouTube for it as well. So tell us a bit about yourself, just briefly.
Well, so I was a nurse, a registered nurse for 30 years. And having worked through the pandemic, I saw a lot of stuff, and it really didn't feel good to me to remain silent. I chose to not participate in the mandates for my own reasons. I mean, I was seeing a lot of stuff come through. I had a penetrating eye injury when I was 3 years old and I lost my sight, and then suddenly I'm seeing all these people coming into the emergency department going blind. So I was like, of course I don't want to participate in that, you know. And then I started to see all the other things, you know, the cardiac stuff and the cancers and the miscarriages and just all the things. And I can never unsee, you know, what I've seen. And so I felt I would never have said that I would have ever been a public speaker up until now. And then I realized that when I got asked to speak, I'd been crying like days and days and days just after work, just seeing what I've been seeing. And just feeling like feeling really helpless and not liking what I was seeing as far as the deception and all the, you know, all the division and things. And so I just decided that it was time that I spoke out about it. And that was the moment when I really felt that when the response I got after speaking, the first time I spoke was at the Broad Beach rally. There was about 15,000 people there, and the response that I got afterwards was when I realised that we need more of us to speak out, and that it was my responsibility in all of this to be that person, to shine the light for those that were feeling like they were going crazy or, you know, had been injured, and there was just, you know, people just needed to know that they, the truth about what was going on. And so that kind of led me into, you know, what I do now on my journey. I got reprimanded by APRA for speaking out because we were warned.
That's a good thing.
That everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned before that you've been a nurse for 30 years. You're no longer in that profession because you don't want to work in that. You got forced out of it through the mandates. You mentioned in our presentation today that all your colleagues that you've worked with, some of them for the whole duration of 30 years, and they're just staying silent, they won't talk to you now at all. It's just...
It's been a really, it's been a lonely journey, you know.
Absolutely.
It's been a, and I think that what we've all come to realise that, you know, the ones of us who have chosen to, you know, stand in our truth and not be coerced and manipulated, and you know, we were, yep. we really just want to walk our own path. That there's so many more of us though than we realised, and Absolutely. It's been this situation that's actually brought us all together from all walks of life. So good things always come out of bad situations.
They do, and you also mentioned that you were talking to people about why they got the jab, and they said, because I want to keep my job, or I want to go to the pub and watch the footy, or whatever. And you said, well, we were prepared to lose everything to not take that poison. Mm-hmm. And I feel it's 100% the same way, because I used to work in the mainstream too. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever want to work in that again, and we need to create our own employment. Mm-hmm. And create our own economy.
Yes.
If we want to move forward in our new normal. Not their new normal, our new normal.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you agree with that?
I do. Yeah. And I think that one of the greatest things that's come out of all of this is knowing that, when we would have lost everything, and a lot of us did lose. We've started again, my partner and I are in our 50s, and started our own businesses and are being self-sufficient, so that we don't ever have to go through that same scenario where we're dependent on, a job or on, other people for our income, for our livelihood. And it's brought resources together in our community now that we would never have had access to. It's exciting. Yeah. I think
it is
exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
It's a great time to be alive, and I think that if everyone took responsibility for their own actions, their own finances, everything like that, we wouldn't even, the government would just be a thing of the past we could just throw in the bin and forget about, I think.
Yeah. Or it can just tick along in the background and it wouldn't affect us, because we've already set up our own ways of being and living and supporting one another and really coming back into community.
Yep.
And, and we're so resourceful as people. We've all got something to offer.
Yep.
So we can connect each other. It's just like an ecosystem that is, I think it's going to survive anything, to be honest.
I totally agree. And one of the hardest things to do is to convince the people that haven't quite seen it yet that you don't need the government to survive. You can do it yourself. You can take responsibility for your own actions. And that's what we try and promote here.
Yep.
And I just want to say thank you very much for coming and speaking to us today. We really, really enjoyed it, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Bloody awesome, Tasmanian Devil.